Welcome to Destiny Harvest Church's weekly podcast. We're a church located in Columbia, Maryland, right between DC and Baltimore. We're so glad that you decided to listen to our podcast. If you're looking for a message of hope, purpose, and destiny, then you've tuned into the right place. If you have any testimonies of what God has done in your life as a result of listening to this podcast, please email us at stories@mydestinyharvest.com. We love to hear how God is impacting people's lives through what He's doing at our church. Now, prepare your heart and mind to hear from God as we jump into this week's message.
I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Come on, say it with me. Next line. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Come on, would you read it again? No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit this city, the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Say it with me. Be strong and very courageous. God, I pray that as we focus on your word today, that the miracle you began in us will continue. God, help me to get out of the way. Our minds are open. Our hearts are prepared for what you want to say. God, we thank you for your word today. In Jesus' name, the church said amen. Amen and amen. Would you give it up one more time for this worship team? Come on, give them a great hand. Great job. Great job. You may be seated. Go ahead. Man, what a privilege it is to be here with you at Destiny Harvest today. I come to you from way down south Louisiana. I walked in today and somebody said, man, it's hot here and kind of humid. I said, you don't know what that is. And down south, you walk from the car to the building, you get a good sweat on. Literally just breathing, you suck in water, everybody, okay? South Louisiana is a great place. You ever get the opportunity to come visit us down in New Orleans, we would love to have you. Before I jump into the next part of our message, I do just want to say thank you to every one of you. You may not realize, but Pastor Stephen and I have been friends for many, many years. And 3 years ago, I had been pastoring for many years in Birmingham, Alabama. And 3 years ago, God called my wife and I, who's right here on the front row. If you want to give it up for this lovely lady for me right here, my wife Amber. God called us to plant a church in New Orleans, Louisiana, and I was talking with your pastor, and he said, man, we're going to partner with you to make a difference. And today, I just want you to hear from my heart how thankful I am that you invested. You may not realize, but you invested in a life-giving church in the city of New Orleans. And just so far this year, 78 people have given their life to Jesus because of your investment. It's a huge deal, a huge deal. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Now today, we're going to jump into a great message, and I just read Joshua chapter 1 to you because the book of Joshua is not only my namesake, but it's a pivotal book in the Old Testament. Come on, if your daddy's going to name you Joshua, you might as well preach from the book. Amen, everybody? And so the book of Joshua is very, very pivotal in the Old Testament because God had worked through Moses to deliver people who had been enslaved for 430 years. And he delivered them, and they walked through the desert and saw miracle after miracle after miracle. God did great things. Man, the Red Sea parted. Water came from the rock. How many of y'all remember a little manna from heaven? God did some great things on the journey to the promised land, their place of purpose and fulfillment. God did something great along the way. And they get to the edge of the promised land, all that God has been telling them he has for them. And God says, Moses, you're not going to handle this. You're going to pass the baton. And Joshua is going to carry these people into this promised land. Now, I don't know if you've ever imagined what it would be like to be Joshua in that situation, but you had watched Moses tap a rock and water came out of it, everybody. You saw the man stand on the side and the seas parted. And no matter what you do, that guy gets a little elevated in your mind. Kind of a little bit of a God complex going on there. Like, I'm going to fill his shoes. I don't know about the Red Sea. I don't know if I can do it. And he's feeling inferior. He's feeling overwhelmed. He doesn't know if he can do it. In the beginning of the book of Joshua, God speaks to Moses to tell him to be strong and courageous because God has great things for him. He actually says it 6 times, everybody. You ever had your mama repeat something to you just a few times? Now, boy, you're going to get this. You're going to get it well. You're going to remember what I'm saying, or you're going to die on the way to the car. That's how my mama spoke. I'm one of six children, everybody, okay? Like, she had to have order and discipline just for us to live. And God spoke to Joshua six times through Moses and other people, be strong and courageous. And it wasn't until Joshua got in a few battles that he actually understood what it means to be strong and courageous. The seventh time in Scripture, the book of Joshua, you hear the word strong and courageous. Joshua actually has his foot on the neck of his enemy. And those words that had been spoken to him sunk in. And all of a sudden, he was not looking at promised land. He was taking promised land. He was not standing on the edge. He was winning victory on every side. And today what I want to talk to you about is about the struggles and standards that are needed in order to take the ground that God has for you. Because you're not going to be able to lay back and see the victory that you want. You're not going to be able to step to the side. You're going to have to engage and walk in the anointing and the calling that God has for you. You're going to have to step into it. But listen, I'd be remiss if I just said, go get it. Go get it. You'll be fine. How many of y'all ever had somebody in your life say, just do it. You'll be all right. You'll survive. And when you got in the middle of it, you realized that it was harder than they said. I think we do this in church sometimes. We say, hey, just give your life to Jesus. Just pray this prayer with me. Lift your hand. Amen. God bless you. And then all of a sudden, you think you've got it all. The reality is that there are more struggles than we could ever anticipate. And in the book of Joshua, he names 31 cities he had to conquer. How many of y'all would like to go through 31 struggles? Oh, no. I don't want that one. That's not an amen moment in this church. That's a, oh, no. I'm not doing that, God. But how many of y'all have been following God for a little while and you're like on city 17 right now? Come on, you're like in struggle 17, like struggle bus, what you talking about? I've been making it through and pushing through, and today I'd be remiss if I told you about the promised land, but didn't tell you that you have to struggle and fight for some of the victory that you want. See, when I was growing up, my dad kind of had this mentality of if you were afraid of something, you just had to go do it. And so if you expressed any fear, you did not want to express fear because you were going to be thrown in. And so I'm the third of six children. This boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl. Kind of Brady Bunch, but same mom and dad. One day I asked my dad, I said, do you love kids so much? He said, no, son, I loved your mama. I was the third one in. So, you know, all the newness is worn off by the third child. The first one, you're like, oh, don't bump your head. Running over here, making sure you got rubber covers and this doors, like the toxic stuff under the sink is protected. By the third child, you're like, son, if you drink that, it ain't going to be good. So my siblings, my dad took time to make sure that they knew how to swim and all that. My grandparents had a pool. And so it came my turn to learn how to swim. And, you know, brother, he's 4.5 years old. And he's winning. He's like swimming. It's great. My dad's like third one. He's like, boy, let's see what you can do, you know. And threw me in the water, and after thrashing and sucking in some, I got to the other side. I figured something out, that being thrown in like that wasn't great, but if you got a little momentum and you started running, you could, you know, thrash a little bit less and still make it to the other side. I called it swimming, everybody, but it wasn't. It was surviving is what it was. I got to the other side, and I was like, man, I figured this out. I've succeeded. I faced the struggle, and I've overcome. And I don't know if it was God or the devil in my brother, but he's like, he says, now, you know, if you swim down deep to the bottom, that it smells like roses at the bottom. How many of y'all have a friend like that, a sibling like that? Come on, come on, show me those hands. Come on, got a sibling like that, needs Jesus right now. I almost died that day. Y'all are laughing. I'm serious. Almost died that day. I think for many of us, we have just been thrown in. Whether it's circumstances of life or issues, or whether it's parents were involved or not, or where you just currently are, we've been thrown in, and we didn't realize that even faith or our lives were going to have this much struggle. And so now we're just in the pool trying to thrash to the other side. And what I want to tell you today is that if you'll struggle a little bit with God on your side, it'll change. You'll grow stronger. See, God is warning you to work through some things, because if he gives you everything, you won't grow in strength. And some of us, we want this promised land and the purpose of God, but in order to get it, you're going to have to walk through those 31 cities. Now, I want to give you five struggles that we all have, not 31. Praise God for that, right? I want to give you five today. Then I'd love for you to jot down struggles that we all face. Here's the first one. We all face inferiority in our lives. No matter what, no matter who you are, we are going to face some level of inferiority. Now, I don't know. You're going to have to flip your page over with me, everybody, to take some notes, because those bottom 3 points are going to come later, okay? But here's what you need to know, that there's not a person in the room who doesn't face or feel inferior at some time. I know. We have this tendency to come to church. Come on, put on your Sunday best. I got my blue and gray plaid for you today, everybody. Come on, you come on in. I told Pastor Steven I was wearing. He said, I hadn't worn a jacket in a long time. I said, well, man, how are you a Christian? He tried to take me shopping yesterday. It didn't go well. Here's the deal. We come to church, and you know, we're putting on our best. But the reality is that if you look down your row, everybody here has somewhere that they don't feel like they have enough, that they feel inferior to the task. I know that person down your row might look better. They might have drove into church with something better. But the reality is that they were hitting their kids all the way to the front door just like you were. You know what I'm talking about. You're like killing them on the way in. And you get to the door and you're like, well, God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise God we're here. This one just, he needs a little prayer today. It's what we do, right? We kind of put on our Sunday best. But the reality is that not a person here that doesn't feel inferior sometimes. Even the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, listen to his words. He says, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. If the Apostle Paul can feel inferior sometimes, you and I will. And you're going to have to deal with that feeling and overcome it just a little bit so that you can step into the promised land that God has for you. When I was kind of preparing to get married, this beautiful lady walked into our church one time. I'm a preacher's kid, and so when a new girl walked in, I took notice, everybody. And she was so good looking, I looked at my dad and said, I could marry her. I don't know if you've ever had that feeling before, straight out and took her 3 years to hear that word from God, too. Eventually, she gave in, though, everybody, and we got married, and it was great. And I was talking to her about her growing up and what it looked like, and for her, she was valedictorian in her class. I thought, yeah, I did good. Yeah. Married a smart girl and a good-looking girl, you know, like God's blessing me. I'm highly favored of God in this situation. And we were talking about life and what she was going through, and I said, well, you know, what did your grades look like, valedictorian? She said, well, you know, I grew up with good education, mom and dad around me. And, you know, for me, I was just the opposite. I looked at her and said, you know, I was a C student. Anybody here a C student? Come on, show me those hands real quick. Anybody? Come be bold. Be bold. Come on, you and me. You and me. Yes, ma'am. Come on. The rest of y'all, we hate you. Couldn't you have stayed home showing up every day messing up the curve? Thank you. That was my wife, and I married her. One day we're having a conversation about grades, and she looked at me. She said, I don't think I ever had a B in my life. She looked at me. She said, I don't think I ever had a B in my life either. Talk about feeling inferior when you start doing math with her. Here's what I need you to understand is that there's not a place in any of our lives. Every one of us faces that struggle. I got to give you a few more. I'm going to move through the others a little more quickly. Here's the second struggle we all face is temptation. We all face temptation. It's just the reality. Being a preacher's kid, I was around men and women of God, and I thought one day if I followed God, there'd be a point where I wouldn't be tempted any longer. Like I would just graduate and there would be no temptations any longer. Man, wouldn't that be a great idea? It's called heaven, everybody, okay? Just to let you know. But even Jesus himself faced temptation. And I just need you to understand that there's not going to be a point where there's not going to be a trap laid for you. And the enemy's going to try to tempt you and try to throw you off because he wants you to live in the struggle rather than the strength of God. And so it happens to all of us. See, the enemy's smart because if he knows the only thing he has to do to throw you off your game is to send one good-looking girl who doesn't love God or one good-looking guy who doesn't love God, just send them in your life to plant them there to tell you you look good. Come on, I'm preaching better than y'all are amening right now. You know what I'm talking about. Missionary dating does not work, everybody. Quiet in this Methodist church. It's true. You see her and you're like, I don't know if she loves God. She looks good. That's a temptation. And listen, you just need to recognize that the enemy is smart. He's been at this game a long time. And he wants you to struggle so much that you just live in that struggle. Just going round and round to the next girl, to the next guy, to the next bad situation. And Jesus does not have that for you. So much so, Matthew 6, he says, I want you to pray this way. Pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I want you to understand that as you step into the promised land of God, there will still be temptation. And you're going to have to stay focused. You're going to have to stay focused on what God has for you so that you don't lose sight that he has more for you. I remember when I gave my heart to Jesus all out, I broke off all relationships that were ungodly. I broke off a long-term relationship with a girl that was ungodly. It was immoral. It wasn't what God wanted for me. 3 years later, this lady walked in. Can I tell you, 3 years of not dating, you need Jesus. When she walked in, I knew. See, God has that for you. Got a couple of more for you. Here's the third struggle we all face is rejection. There's just not a person in the room. It starts early. Sometimes when you're 8 or 9, you're the last picked and it seems to stay with you. Sometimes it's just life and the family you grew up in, or maybe your mom or dad left when you didn't expect them to leave, and there's this rejection on the inside that just stays with you. See, that's the struggle that the enemy wants you to live in. He wants you to live your entire life feeling rejected and broken so that you'll stay there. He'll mar you by that, and he'll mark you by that idea of rejection so that every new relationship, you're worried about rejection again. See, my grandfather growing up, my mom's dad, he divorced the family at some point. He didn't divorce my grandmother. He divorced the family. When he left his children, he left his grandchildren. Can I tell you how that felt? The few times that I saw him in my life, having to reintroduce myself. Some of you, you're carrying that type of struggle in your life. And what the enemy planned is for you to carry that for the rest of your life so that you would be alone. Come on, I'm jumping in, you guys. Are y'all with me today? Like, we could stand back and we could talk or we could be real. There are struggles that we are facing, and God, instead of looking at your rejected state and saying, hope you do, you're going to make it. No. He engaged and he adopted you into his family. He said, I'll call you by my name. You'll be sons and daughters of the Most High God. You won't live the way you lived in the past, no longer rejected. I'm going to pull you in. I found out my grandfather was living 15 minutes from my house. And I thought, surely he wants to know me. I was 12 years old, and I got a friend to drive me to his house, and I knocked on the door, and he didn't know who I was. And can I tell you, that left a deep-seated rejection in my life for years. And what I want you to know is that's a struggle that God doesn't want you to have. Luke chapter 17 says, Jesus said, it's impossible that offenses should not come. Like, it's impossible that no offenses are ever going to come. But woe to him through whom they do come. He said, so you don't be that person, but I want you to know you're going to have to face this. But listen, you face rejection differently when you know you got a father that loves you and a mother who loves you. You face it differently. Come on, you can tell me I'm ugly, but I've been talking to my mama, everybody, okay? Like, you can tell me it's not working out, but listen, she's on my side. And listen, if you want to keep on going, I will sick her on you. Come hell, fire, and brimstone, you're going to die. It's the truth. Here's the fourth. We all face discouragement. It's just true. As soon as I say it, every one of you, you can feel it, because there are things even right now, you're discouraged about a relationship. You're discouraged about finances. You're discouraged about your job. Every one of us, it never goes away. There will always be places of discouragement. But I want you to understand, it's your choice what you do with those situations. See, courage is an attribute given to you by God. He places it in your life. And to be discouraged, literally defined, means to lack spirit. So when you're discouraged, you're lacking the spirit of God. So you're allowing your courage to be without God. The word, the opposite of it, encourage, literally means the opposite. You've taken your courage and you have infused it with the word of God and the spirit of God, and then you are encouraged. Can you tell the difference? You meet somebody who's discouraged about life, you can see it on their face, can't you? And my children, I've got a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old, and when my son is down, he's down. Just comes walking in. What's wrong, son? I lost my candy. It discouragement. It's like kids, you know, like smallest things. It's like just wipe them out. And I'm like, son, you realize that your father has the ability to rain down Skittles on you right now. It's just the truth. You lost one pack of Skittles. You are related to somebody. I can buy the whole store of Skittles right now. You want to bathe in them? Let's do it, son. See, that's what God is doing. He's looking at the things that discourage us, and he's saying, have you lost sight of who you are? Have you lost sight of what I've got for you? I'm a provider. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I love these farming terms because we don't do any of it anymore. But he's like, I've got all the cattle on 1,000 hills. Like, what? I don't need cattle right now, God. I need money. It's just sometimes you have to do a little bit of deciphering there. Discouragement. The book of Ecclesiastes is kind of one of the biggest Debbie Downer books in the Bible. Here's what he says. It says, throughout their lives, they live under a cloud, frustrated, discouraged, and angry. That's you. That's a lot of us. Come on, if we're honest, we've adopted the struggle as our way of life. And I'm just telling you, it's time for it to end. Now, all four of those, the first four that I gave you, all rooted in the enemy. Okay, so write down the fifth just to make it real clear. The fifth struggle we all face is demonic attack. It's just the devil. Sometimes, I don't find the devil under every rock, okay? So when you get a flat tire, it's probably not the devil, okay? But if you allow the devil to use it, he'll use the flat tire to discourage you, to make you feel inferior, to make you feel rejected, right? He'll use anything to destroy our lives. I just need you to understand that the devil, when you become a card-carrying follower of Jesus Christ, I think some of you are still on the fence there, and that's okay. This is a safe place to discover faith and to talk about where you are. You shouldn't feel rejected or condemned. This is a place where it's all right to talk about those things and work through who is Jesus and should I follow him? And I'll tell you, I've had these conversations. I'm not a follower of Jesus Christ because it's a cool thing to do. Matter of fact, in New Orleans, it's not the cool thing to do. I'm a follower because I've met him. And an argument is never, ever going to beat an experience. You can tell him he's not real. I met him. I've experienced his love and his grace. And what the enemy wants to do is to take all of these struggles and just drop them in your lap. And you live your entire life struggling. But I love what Isaiah 54 says. It says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Come on, would you read it with me? Come on. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. He didn't say no weapon would form. He didn't say that the enemy wouldn't mount an attack. Because here's the deal. If you're not in a fight, you probably aren't doing anything right. If you aren't facing the enemy, you might be walking with him. Wow. Come on now, it's just the reality. You could be living that way. So like when the enemy mounts up, I look at my wife and say, God, we're making a difference. Look at what God's doing in our city. Look at, they're talking bad about us. Praise God. We tick the devil off. Listen, they're going to form. But they shall not prosper. I actually, at this point, I've grown up in a preacher family. I'm actually like, that's how I know we're doing something good. Me and you, we got it. Yes, ma'am. So what do you do See, like, there's real struggle. We all know there's real struggle. What do you do? What do you do? You see, because God's called you to step into your purpose. And Destiny Harvest is a place of purpose. This is not happenstance or accidental. This is the plan of God for you to be here. Because you've been struggling too long. And it's time to struggle with purpose. It's time to struggle with knowing where God wants you to go and to do something about it. In the Old Testament, when Joshua would go into battle, they would do something very, very different than we do in our world. Today we can blow up things without even being there. It's very different than their day. When they went to battle, you actually had to carry the sword. You had to wield the sword, and you were in danger of another sword. How many of y'all, it's like today we've kind of simplified this idea of what it means. No, in their day, they had to walk out there and look you in the eye and do some damage. In their day, they would do something that's very, very different. They would walk out to the battlefield carrying what the Bible calls a standard. Now, when we think of standards, we think the standard of right and wrong or the standard of, and we have all these things of like ethical ideas. The standard was a large banner, and they would walk out with this banner declaring to the world something very, very important. I want to show it to you in Scripture, Isaiah 59:19. It says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun." Would you read it with me? "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." What is he talking about, a standard? What is that? It's not a standard of right and wrong. It's a banner declaring two things. Jot it down with me. A standard declares who we are. When you're walking into the struggle, when you're walking into the intense things of this life that are discouraging and overwhelming, he wants you to walk out carrying a standard and saying, "Hey, do you know who I am?" See, I think some of y'all even thinking of, what is he saying? It declares who I am. Secondly, it declares whose we are. See, I don't walk into the battle as Josh. I walk into the battle as the Son of the Most High God. I want you to realize that it makes a difference. It makes a difference who you are and whose you are. It makes a difference in how you work through and make it through. In the New Testament, in Acts chapter 19, there was these seven sons of Sceva that thought they could do the things of God without knowing God. It's what they were doing. And they saw the Apostle Paul and some of the leaders of the church praying for people and like deliverance happening. It was exciting and it was fun. And they said, "We're going to do that." And so they started praying for somebody that was demon-possessed. How many of y'all know this is getting a little scary right here? Like, demon-possessed, don't count me in, all right? Like, I don't want to be there. They start praying for him, and the demon starts talking to them. Somebody say, "Oh, me." And the demon says to them, "I know who Jesus is, and I know who Paul is, but who are you? Who are you?" And at that point, I'm scared. At that point, I'm backing out. And that demoniac thrashed. I love the word thrashed, okay? Like, that gives you a picture of the pain they went through. Like, I mean, they walked in clothed and nice and feeling good about themselves. They left naked, everybody. They thrashed them and destroyed them because they did not know who they were and they did not know whose they were. And today, I need you to understand that you need to start carrying a standard in your life that will stand against the flood of the attack of the enemy. You've got to hold up the standard. Now, I need you to understand that a standard is very, very important. Because when you're going into a battle and you're walking into this battleground of what life really is, when you see someone that you can't even recognize what their standard is, that's usually the one you attack. See, the guy that's holding the big banner, I'm kind of afraid of. He's likely weird or strong. I don't know which one. And I don't want to deal with either of them. Come on, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like, he's either really crazy or really good at this. See, on the way in today, I took a picture of the Destiny Harvest logo on your sign. I don't know if you can see it. You can barely see it, can you? You can tell it's a little green. You probably can't even read it. This is what I call a pocket standard. Come on, a lot of us, we've been following God for a little while, but we have a pocket standard. We look big on the outside, but we're carrying a small standard, everybody. It's just the truth. And then you stick around and God starts to do some things in your life and you realize that you don't want to live that way. You don't want to live on the edge of God's promises. And so you join the team. You get you a Destiny Harvest t-shirt, everybody. Come on, anybody here got a Destiny Harvest t-shirt? Come on, right? You start wearing it down the block. What are you saying? You're saying, I'm a part of something. Yeah, not weird, but I'm a part of something. Yeah, yeah. You looking for a church? We got one of those, yeah. And that's, listen, I love it. It's great. Wear the shirt, please. I appreciate all the free advertising you're going to give, you know, like be a part of it. Be a part of the family that way. But then there are people that they lead a small group. They go through the growth track. They join a team. They're standing at the door. They're waving a flag at the end of the block. Now, why y'all so quiet in here? Like, that's like, I got a little amen corner over here. This side, I'm praying for y'all, okay? I'm praying for you. I came in, flags waving, signs. What are they saying? Hey, I know who I am, and I know whose I am. I'm a part of something bigger than the average thing. God's doing a miracle in me. He'll do a miracle in you. And we're walking into the battle arm in arm. Come on, we're carrying our swords and our shields. We know who we are. And we refuse to look at the struggles of life and let them define us. And because we know who we are and whose we are, we refuse to do it alone. So we're walking along and saying, hey, you're feeling rejected. Would you come with me? You're looking discouraged. I'll be there for you. You're feeling broken. I know a healer. It's who we are. It's what we do. This is what God has called us to do in this age. Because God, help us. Right now in our world, we need a standard. We need a standard. Can I be real with you? Come on, it's all over the news. We're fighting over our standard in America. Come on, we're fighting over American and what it looks like. And surely the flag has not lived up to what it's supposed to live up to. There are gaps in our nation. Let's not pretend. Amen, everybody? There are real challenges. We have not succeeded. We are still a work in progress. But I also want to tell you, I'm not trading this one for any other nation. Come on now. Listen, I know we're messed up and we're limping, but the other one's in a wheelchair. It's just like they're struggling. It's a different type of deal. But here's the deal. We have a choice. We can look at the standard of our nation and complain about it. We can withdraw from the struggle, or we can engage and hold up a standard of Jesus Christ. So I'm not encouraging you to get weirder. Christians like that are scary. I'm not encouraging you to become something that's not like God, but rather than looking like what we're even seeing in our world, what would Jesus really do in this situation? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard. And I want you to know that if you're a Christ follower today, you're a Christ follower before you're an American. Just hear my heart, hear my heart. There's something that God has called us to, and I refuse to stand back and say what's going on is okay. But I'm going to engage. And I'm going to say we need humility. We need humility. We need forgiveness. We need grace, because everything else leads us to destruction. So today, as I prepare to close, I want you to write down three standards we need. Flip that page over. Come on, we're going to fill in a little blank in church, everybody. Now you're going to feel spiritual with me. Here we go. Number one, jot it down with me. The standard we need to raise, the first one, is the blood of Jesus. We have forgotten about the blood of Jesus that forgives sins and redeems. And so when you're tempted, or maybe you came in today carrying a past sin, maybe you sinned on the way to church. Praise God for the blood of Jesus. Not praise God for the sin on the way. You came to the right place if you're sinning. Welcome to the club. We're all sinners. Come on. You just showed up at a hospital, and some of us checked in a little bit earlier, so we know which hallway to tell you to go down. But welcome to Destiny Harvest, everybody. Broken, hurting, sinful people who need the blood of Jesus. So here's the deal. We're not prideful. We're not arrogant. If you're hurting, welcome. Welcome. But it's the blood of Jesus that overcomes temptation and sin. It's the blood of Jesus that heals. It's the blood of Jesus that forgives. And the same blood that was shed on the cross and forgave you the first time is the same blood that will forgive you the second time. And today, I'm not here to give you a license to sin. I'm here to tell you that you have a license to receive forgiveness. I'm not here to say it's okay to keep doing the same thing over and over again. No. I'm saying you need to get up. I'm not giving you a license to sin. I'm giving you a license to get up and overcome. Revelations chapter 12 and 11 says, they defeated him how? By the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. There was a moment where they began to trust God. And the blood of Jesus began to overcome sin in every attack of the enemy. Here's the second one. Jot it down with me. We overcome. The standard we need to raise is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Now, I know as soon as I said that, you're like, man, I've heard that one before. I've been in church. I've heard the Word of God. But can I tell you, so many Christians are walking into a gunfight with a knife. When it comes to the Word of God, they hardly know it. You ask them what truth is, they say, I don't know. You ask them whether they should be doing that or not, they say, well, I'll give you my opinion. And let me just tell you something, everybody. I'm meddling now, aren't I? So many of us have opinions. And can I tell you, I don't. I've surrendered the right. Where the Bible is clear, that's what I believe. Where the Bible is unclear, I look for principles. If there are no principles, sure, we can get into some opinions. It's okay with me if you want to be wrong. See, there's some things that the Bible does not mix words over. And we have to be standard bearers. Is it hard sometimes? Yes. I read the Bible sometimes, I'm like, that hurts. But it's a hurt we need. Listen, cutting cancer out hurts, but the cancer has to go. Hebrews says it this way, the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And what some of us need right now is allow the Word of God, the standard to rise up inside of us and allow it to do the work that only it can do. Jesus himself, man cannot live by bread alone. You need the Word of God. You need the Word of God. Your discouragement needs the Word of God. Your inferiority needs the Word of God. Your temptation needs the Word of God. Your demonic attack needs a standard to be raised up against it. And there is no standard but the Word of God. See, if you get to choose what's right and wrong, then so do I. See, the thief wants everybody else not to have locks on their doors. You shouldn't have a right to have a lock on your door because I want all of your stuff. Right? See, if we allow something else or someone else to set the standard, we're in trouble. The Word of God. Not on screen, just extra verses. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God. And profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be adequately equipped to do every good work. You want to be equipped? You're feeling inferior? Get in the Word of God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14, and the Word dwelt among us and became flesh. I don't know if I'm stirring y'all up or scaring you. See, I think we need to grab hold of what the Bible really says and reject everything else. Come on, we're living hashtag lives. My. Come on, what have we allowed to overtake and define us? We're forwarding things that we don't even know what they stand for. The Word of God is what we stand for. Here's the last. Number three, the standard we need to raise is the prayers of the believers. It's time for us to return to a people, to be a people of prayer. This past week, when all that was going on in Las Vegas, it's terrible. It's overwhelming. I saw a friend posted Instagram, I wish I could do more than pray. And I thought, you know what? We should serve. We should give. That's great. But for heaven's sakes, have we forgotten the power of prayer? Do we realize what the Word of God says, that if we will engage? Come on, you've been in church for a while. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, you probably got it memorized, who are called by my name, read it with me, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. You're on the edge of all the purpose that God has for you, all the fulfillment you've been hungry for. And the enemy wants to give you a struggle to define you. And I'm trying to help you to grab onto the strength of God and to hold up a standard and say, I know who I am. And I refuse to stand back and watch this nation go the way of the world. I will not withdraw. I will engage and I will hold up a standard. Would you join me all around this room? If it's time for you to hold up a standard, would you stand with me all around this room? Come on, be bold. I'm not being emotional. I'm not going to make you feel it right now. If it's time for you to hold up a standard in your life, if there's some area of struggle that you need to say, no, I'm not living that way any longer. I'm not going to stay in that any longer. I'm going beyond where I am. Now come on, close your eyes right where you are. Think of your struggle. Come on, focus on your struggle right where you are. What is it? Is it inferiority, discouragement, temptation, rejection? Is the devil after you? And right there, I want you to whisper these words. Heavenly Father, come on, say it with me all together. Heavenly Father, I reject the struggle. And I raise up the standard. I have been bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. I am forgiven. I hold to the Word of God. It defines me. I don't have an opinion, God. Your Word is my Word. And today, God, I commit to pray, to engage, to step in. Heavenly Father, right now I bless every person under the sound of my voice. God, I pray that the standards would be strong in Destiny Harvest. That God, we would not reject or withdraw or disengage, but God, we would look at the hurting world around us and bring them the hope that you have given us. God, I bless them with strength and with favor. And every attack of the enemy, let it fall short. I bind the spirit of rejection in Jesus' name. I bind the spirit of discouragement in Jesus' name. And I speak freedom and hope and peace and love and joy in Jesus' name over our lives. Let us walk in your presence. Let us walk in your anointing. Let us walk as your children, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Thanks again for tuning into this week's message. If you want to learn more about our church, check us out at destinyharvest.tv. Meet our leadership team, find a way to connect with our church, and partner with us through giving. You can also connect with us on social media by visiting our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. Tune in next week for another message from our pastor, Stephen Chandler.